Herzlich willkommen zu Saatkorn, deinem Podcast mit Inspiration für eine bessere Arbeitswelt. Hallihallo und herzlich willkommen zum Saatkorn Podcast. Bin heute gespannt und auch ein bisschen aufgeregt. Ich habe einen Gast aus Frankreich, er sitzt in Paris. Das finde ich ganz spannend. Und wer sich so ein bisschen mit der HR-Tech-Szene auskennt, der weiß, dass in Frankreich eine ganze Menge passiert. Nicht zuletzt auch, weil dort die Regierung sehr, sehr viel Wert auf die Entwicklung der französischen Startups legt, was ich ziemlich cool finde. Könnten sich die Deutschen vielleicht auch noch mehr Beispiel dran nehmen. Anyway, heute werde ich also auf Englisch sprechen. Und zwar ist mein Gast Virgil Ringin. Er ist der Founder und CEO von Figures. Das ist ein Startup, was sich mit Compensation beschäftigt und aus Frankreich kommt. Also deswegen werden wir jetzt auch auf Englisch weitersprechen. And I say hello to Virgil. Thanks that you are here on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Great. So perhaps we start with you. How did you come to the idea to build up Figures? Tell me something about the founding story.
It's a bit of a weird one, Joe, right? So as a bit of a background, I studied like computer science and mathematics, and then I moved to a master's degree in HR, right? So it's already a weird move to go from computer science to HR. And I did 11 years of human resources. So I did my first part of my career working as a compensation analyst, then an HR business partner, then an HR director and a VP of people operations in large companies, mid-sized companies. And my last role was a VP of people operations in a startup in France, post-series A startup. And I guess there's two things that led me to create Figures. The first thing was, throughout my career, every time I worked on compensation, I did it with a lot of spreadsheets. And I actually love spreadsheets, right? I'm actually a bit spreadsheet geek, but I found that weird that whenever it comes to like your core HR, you have a system, performance reviews, you have those great systems, the Lipsum, Lattice, 15.5 and the like, employee engagement, same thing, ATS, you're hiring with like a proper system. And then when it comes to compensation, you go back to spreadsheets, right? And tons of spreadsheets. During my time at Criteo, 3,000 employees companies, tech company, I was HR director for 800 people. Every time we were running compensation reviews, we were doing it with, I think at the time, was like 120, 130 spreadsheets. And I was like, that's not normal to have to keep managing that with spreadsheets, right? So that was one of the pain points. The second one was when I was in a VP of people in a startup environment, there was no market data, no reliable market data for what was compensation in the startup scene in France at the time. And so those two points led me to create Figures to try to tackle those points, right? To bring better tooling and better data, better compensation benchmark data for HR directors such as myself to make more efficient and more fair decisions. That's what led to the creation of Figures.
Well, very fascinating. You started in a very interesting time. Figures was founded at the end of 2020. So
exactly.
not the easiest time in regards to Corona and everything that happened. So you are pretty young, not really 3 years old, but super successful. So how did this all start, and why do you think you gained so many customers in such a short time frame?
Well, so how did it start? It's funny how it started. It started because, you know, I was an HR once again for like 11 years. And I started Figures. I was like, I'm tired of this, right? Are you as well tired of not having compensation market data in France? And I reached out to, at the time, was 12 HR directors of similar startups. It was like Conto, Back Market, some of the names that you might know. And they were like, are you tired as well? They were like, yes. So what about I create something? You give me your compensation data from your employees. I aggregate it and I give you back the first aggregated market data for startups in France, right? This was end of 2020, 12 companies only. But then when I started doing that, then I had the next month 10 companies being like, hey, can I participate as well? The next month 10 more, the next month 10 more. So it took off a lot. And then when we started building this tool, we started getting requests on our website from Germany, Spain, Netherlands, and so on, saying, oh, we've seen you're doing that. Are you operating in Germany? There's nothing like that in Germany. And after a while, we're like, Why not try to replicate what we did in France to Germany? And Germany was in fact the first country we started opening, because there was actually no proper way to benchmark data then.
Yeah, well, I don't know actually, but we can talk about this a little bit later on. So the whole benchmark idea was really, as far as I understand, the driver for the business success, because obviously compensation is a lot about benchmarking. So on an individual level, if you think about your own compensation, do I earn enough? But even more so on an organizational level, because at the end of the day, in this time, we're given the mega trends of demographics, but also digitization. Obviously, the power of the employees is rises. So obviously, the organizations have to do more to gain and retain talent. And we can talk about all kind of benefits, but everybody knows that at the end of the day, compensation is the main, or one of the really main drivers to gain and retain talent. And therefore, the benchmarking on an organizational level is super important. If we talk about the compensation benchmarks Figures provides, is that only for companies or also for individuals?
It's only for companies, right? Which is a bit sad, because in a way, if one of our mission is to help make a more fair world when it comes to compensation, we'd like to help individuals know their worth, right? And we can't, because we rely on our model is that we rely on company to share, to pay the subscription and share their data. And this is, we aggregate their data. So we actually can't share it back with employees or candidates. It's only accessible by companies.
Yeah, but that's interesting, because I thought if you have all this data, and it's at the end of the day, of course, you have to take care on data protection. You get the data from the companies.
Exactly.
But you can provide it in a way that there's no really an insight for individuals where this data came from. So there could be a way also to provide it to individuals.
I have an interesting story on that, right? And why it's complex for us. If you go on our website, there's like a trial version with fake data. So you can see our product, and anyone, including candidate, can go on our website and have a look at how part of our product looks like. They can go and be like, okay, how much does a data analyst earn in Berlin? How much does a chief marketing officer earn in Munich? And they get fake data, right? And one day, I received an email from one of our biggest clients. It was very early on in our journey, right? 2021. I received an email from one of our VP of people. I was like, there's been a leak on your website. Our SDR team, our sales team, saw on your website that they're underpaid. And they wrote an email to the CEO, and I'm not kidding, saying, we saw on figures.hr that we're underpaid. You need to increase us or we will all leave. The CEO forwarded the email to the chief, the VP of people. VP of people forwarded it to me. I was with my co-founder saying, there's been a leak. And I was like, okay, forward me the email. And then when they forwarded the email, there was a screenshot of our trial version with a big banner saying, this is fake data, right? It was fake data all along. And they saw the data was real. They saw they were underpaid. But the story is, if we tell the employee of some of our clients that they're underpaid based on market data, and they use that to go to some of our clients being like, oh, Figures is telling me I'm underpaid and pissed off, the client will be pissed off at us. So we can't really play both angles, right?
All right. That's so, what I understand. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
It's more a political issue here than
exactly
a data issue. So since you have all this information. Very interesting. What made me think, on the one hand, I think it's great, and Figures is like a software as a service, and how you provide the pricing is also the typical way. You have a benchmark, a structure, and a review area. We can talk about this in a few,
yep.
The differentiation. But I can't see any pricing on the website. So how do you structure your pricing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I actually hate the fact that we're not transparent. But the reason why we're not transparent is that we have, in some countries like UK, Germany, and France, where our data set is very good and our product is mature, we charge. And in some other countries, we don't charge. So the pricing mechanism are a bit, and it's complex to display it in a way that's understandable, but basically it's a price depending on the headcount of the company in the location where we're charging for, right? So it's a price that starts around 2,000 euros and goes up to, for our biggest clients now, 30,000 euros for our largest enterprise customers.
Is that the annual pricing?
Annual pricing, yes.
All right. Okay. So so the companies pay an annual pricing and then they can get access to the data for the whole year.
Yeah, data. And as you mentioned now, which I think it's interesting because I think it's going to be the biggest impact we're going to have in terms of product is like our new module structure and salary band, helping company manage their salary structure, their salary band, and share those salary bands. Is a new product is not only the data, it's that. And in fact, I'm more confident that this is going to be what is going to have the biggest impact on the market, is helping company structure their salary bands and, to our previous point, share the salary bands with their employees and share the salary bands with their candidates externally. Because there's a big thing, big market trend into being more transparent about salary range and salary band. I think we're going to be one of the companies that help company structure their compensation, and then be more progressively more and more transparent.
Oh, that's very interesting. We can talk a little bit about this because also in Germany, there's a big discussion. Everybody knows that the salary is one of the key, probably the key decisive factor if you want to join a company or not. So at the end of the day, the salary must be okay. If it's not, then it's not interesting for you as a candidate. So at the end of the day, it would make sense to provide salary data in every job ad. In Germany, there's a big discussion. Some companies do it. They are transparent. Others are not. How is it in France?
So actually, it's a very good question. There's two points to your question. So first of all, there's a legislative change that's going to force every company to do it, including in Germany. But for now, at the moment, we are running a survey amongst all of our clients, right? So we have 12 more than 1,200 clients. 700 of them answer. And we ask them, how transparent are you? Are you transparent about your compensation policy, your salary ranges, or your individual salaries as well? Like, do everyone know within the company who makes what? Which is the case that figures, by the way. We have transparent salaries in the company. Everyone knows how much I'm making and so on. Guess who's the country, the least transparent country of all of our countries?
The most transparent?
The least transparent.
The least, Germany.
Germany, yes, indeed. So Germany is really funny in the way that it's a world, there's the least transparency in salaries, like by a significant margin, right? There's UK and Nordic countries at the top of the most transparent companies, and UK is not, it's a bit cultural, but it's also been pushed by legislative changes forcing companies to be more transparent. And then the least one is Germany, and France is not that transparent as well, right? But it's above Germany. Germany is by far the most secretive country when it comes to salaries.
Very interesting. But that leads us back to the topic of salary bands, because at the end of the day, there's one way to say this is the exact salary, or the salary is in a range between amount X and Y. So that's what salary bands are about. And I think that's a good compromise to go this way. Me being a CEO myself, so aside from my podcast hobby here, I know how complicated it is, especially if you have a history. So my company exists since 10 years, and it's very difficult to come to the point where you say, now we make it transparent, because there are so many historical developments that make it difficult. If I would start a company now, I would go right away in a transparent way. But with a history, it's very difficult. And I think that's the main reason why it's so difficult to change that.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's that I like to call like skeletons in the closet, right? Like hidden stuff. Exactly. And people don't want, and a lot of historical companies have those, right? It's understandable. But, and I think we both know that, right? A new directive on pay transparency has been voted by the European Union Parliament 2 months ago. Within the next 3 years, every European countries, EU country, right, will have to implement laws, including Germany, that's going to force employers to put salary ranges on Jabbat. So it's inevitable. And in fact, before it becomes a law, there's more and more. It's already happening in the US. I don't know if you've seen that, but the state of New York and California are already. It's mandatory if you publish a job advertisement in New York or state of California, you have to put a salary range. What's happening? Some companies like Airbnb just announced, says, okay, if we're doing it in New York and California, we'll do it for every role in the US. And in fact, if you do it for every role in the US, we'll do it for every role worldwide. So it's inevitable that the market will shift towards more transparency on salary ranges. It's inevitable. Now, I think companies, and some are realizing that, they have to start fixing, before they are transparent, start fixing some of their internal historical situation, because within 3 years at most, they will have to be transparent. So now is the time to structure your compensation and correct those historical issues, because it's not a choice. You will have to be transparent tomorrow on salary ranges.
I think that's a great driver for your business model. So that's good.
It is. It is indeed.
All right.
But in a way, it's going to solve one point that you mentioned before. Candidates didn't know historically, like at the moment, what they are worth. With more and more transparency on the market, they're going to know more and more. They're going to see job ads and with salary ranges and so on. So in a way, it's going to hit impact of historical business. There's going to be less and less a need for benchmarking because information is going to be more and more public. But there's going to be more and more a need for structuring your salary ranges, your salary band, and sharing them appropriately with employees, managers, and candidates.
But that's a great point, because that's exactly what I wanted to discuss now with you, since the benchmark in the years to come will be less important. How's your perspective on the development of figures in terms of your product, since the benchmark was a main start and the driver for getting figures on the road? And now you focus on the salary bands, but also I guess there's a lot of pressure on the market since, let's have a look at Personio, for instance. They also go now into compensation topics. Or let's have a look in Germany. Very popular is StepStone. They also have a big database in terms of salary and compensation benchmarks and so on. How do you see figures in this landscape of other companies in Europe?
It's an amazing question, Jerome. So the way I see is that data is going to be, as we say, less and less of a key asset. But the biggest issue is going to, how do you manage your compensation structure? So how do you define your salary bands? Right, you create those salary ranges per role, per location, how much is a financial analyst in London making, how much and so on. Structuring those based on data is what we already provide. And I think I'm arrogant. I'm French, so I have to be arrogant, I guess, Giro, but I think we have the best product out there to manage that in Germany. And then the next step is going to be, how do you manage, you know, those compensation reviews that you know as a CEO when you start to review each employee and so on? And you allocate budget for each manager. Each manager has to make a decision on how to review each employee. This is a nightmare. Ask anyone if they enjoy the process, if they had a good tooling. No one does. So this is the next thing we're working on. And in fact, right now we have also our, what we just released, our budget simulation product, which is super important in this business, is how much budget will I forecast for my next compensation review, taking into consideration inflation, market movement, performance of my individuals, taking that. It's super complex to take all that in consideration to create a budget and forecast a compensation review. So this is another thing we were doing. And all of that is right. 99% of companies are doing it in spreadsheets. Right. And Personio is, I see them as a, not as a competitor, but as a strong partner, because they will never be as advanced as we are in managing compensation. And we are already integrated with them. Right. We have a good with their historical partners where any Personio clients can send data in figures and so on to manage their compensation. And this is the future. And then the next future is, as we said, the communication part. Compensation used to be a black box. This won't be the case anymore. Employers will have to share more and more with their employees. And this, we can help them make it.
Very interesting. Okay, that brings us also to another topic: your customer sweet spot. And on your website, I saw that you're aiming for mid-sized companies and small companies. So probably not the big companies. Why is that? I mean, historically, it's clear you started probably with smaller companies. But perhaps there are other reasons as well.
No, no, it was because historically the benchmark part of our product indeed was for more smaller businesses, because there's been historical benchmark players for larger companies that existed for years. There was no player for smaller and mid-sized companies. So this is why we started on benchmarking to capture that part of the market. But or in our futures of managing compensation, creating salary ranges and so on, in fact, we're going more and more with larger companies. Because right now, to give you an example, some of our largest clients we have, which is like 100,000 employees, how do they manage communicating salary ranges internally? How do you share salary ranges with managers? This is your ranges, you VP of sales, this is your salary ranges for your sales population and so on. All of them do it with spreadsheets. So we have one of our clients who has, they said, 140 spreadsheets. One spreadsheet for engineering salaries in Germany, one spreadsheet for sales salaries in UK, one spreadsheet for logistics in France. And that is an absolute nightmare. And this is the pain we're fixing. So in fact, we didn't expect to have that many large clients, but right now, in the past few months, this is our fastest growing segment, is the largest companies who struggle to manage compensation at scale with spreadsheets.
Ah, very interesting. Okay, so now we know also a little bit about your future customers. So not only the small and medium size, but also the larger companies. Let's talk a little bit about Figures as a company. So how did you start that? Are you bootstrapped? Do you have VC money in the company? How is the financing of Figures?
So we started bootstrapped, right? So we, in fact, our first year, and we went to six or seven employees bootstrapped, and it was a very profitable business. But we decided to raise money to expand internationally because it takes time and it takes effort. When we launched in Germany, for the first year, year and a half, accessing Figures was a free product. You could access Figures if you shared your employee data, right? And once again, you mentioned it, but securely, we're ISO certified, GDPR compliant, and so on. But we started as a free, offering it for free. So that takes a lot of resources. Then we did the same in the UK. So this is why we raised money in end of 2021 and again last summer, so 7 months later, to expand internationally and build more of the features. We used to be bootstrapped. Now we are VC backed, and our main investor is a German investor, Point9.
Ah, interesting.
Point9 is I think the best investors in Europe for SaaS companies, so we are very happy to have them as our lead investor.
Oh, great. In terms of your company, how many people do work at Figures now?
40 is quite a lot.
And
It's quite a lot to me, of course.
are they all in Paris? How is the structure? I know you have also people in Germany, but probably it's a very small team. Perhaps you can talk a little bit about that.
In fact, Germany is our second place where we have the most people. Overall, as a rough idea, we have one third of the people in Paris, two third in remote, and overall, half of our employees are not in France, right? Are abroad, like in the UK, in Netherlands, and in Germany. We have, in fact, I think as of today, seven or eight team members in Germany, including like some sales, customer success, but also some developers and so on that mostly live in Berlin. People do seem to enjoy the life in Berlin.
Oh yeah, it's a nice city. However, but Paris is also very beautiful, I have to say. Okay, in terms of the near future, what are your biggest strategic plans and goals? Let's talk about the next perhaps 2 years.
So next 2 years. So in fact, as I mentioned, from a product perspective, is to go more into helping companies like the salary ranges, build the salary ranges we're making, but do those compensation reviews, manage the forecasting of the budget, running those compensation reviews and so on, which is a nightmare. Like if you ask any HR director how they're managing, it's a nightmare. And then yes, I think the big bet is around this, how to empower company to communicate externally to candidates about compensation is the next big bet, right? And I think for most people, it seems far away, but I think it's going to come like a storm. It's going to come super quick. It's going to come before the law passes, like the European directive being transformed into a German law and so on. Employers will be like, okay, how do I communicate effectively about compensation? And I think we can help them do that. How can you generate an offer letter to a candidate being like, okay, this is a package we're offering. This is the cash. This is the benefits. This is potentially the equity or stock option and so on. This is the projection you can have in the company if you're promoted to the next level, giving more transparency and more information for candidates to make the best choice possible, I think is one of the next big battle.
What is interesting to me is at the end of the day, you're talking about compensation, and compensation also has many facets. You just mentioned a few. You have your fixed salary, you might have a bonus, you might have a virtual stock option plan, but also you might have other benefits, such as health benefits and so on. And do you include all of this in your compensation analysis? Where do you stop? Where do you say this is not part of the original compensation package anymore? Because in these days, it's also about time, it's about holidays, it's about flexible working hours, and so on. So how do you consider that?
It's a great question. So we do country per country, because it's super country specific, right? One thing we discovered, for example, in Germany is company cars. The importance of company cars in Germany is crazy to me. Amongst all of our countries, I've never had that many companies asking for benchmarking on company cars and so on. It seems to be a big thing in Germany, right? So it's just an example to say it's very specific to each country. So we do surveys on benefits that include everything you mentioned, health insurance, pension, days off, flexibility in like remote work and so on, as a survey. And what I envision is to what I just said, like it needs to be communicated better to employees and candidates. Yes. And especially to employees, because most companies are like, okay, what can we increase? How much budget do we need salary increase? But most of their employees don't even realize the pile of benefits they have and some of the money it represents. And one of the biggest thing, right, is time off, which is super interesting. Some companies have a lot of time off. And you know, they can have like 20 days more of leave, and they're being offered a package which is 5% above their package or 10% above their package in another company. But they don't realize that, yes, but with 10 days leave less, actually to the day you spend working, you're earning less per hour, right? So there's a big issue around making employees and candidates realize the value of benefits. Because most companies that have great benefits struggle to make this a key selling argument to candidates and to make it a key retention argument to employees. So we are helping them do that.
I completely agree with that. Also from my CEO perspective, because usually also the candidates or the employees mostly they only see their fixed salary. And I say, hey, this is one part of your compensation package, which includes all other things. And you have to look at everything and the whole package. That makes a difference. But obviously that makes it also more complicated to benchmark, because there's so many different aspects to it. So that's very interesting. Virgil, it was a pleasure having you here on the Saatkorn podcast. It was great talking to you. Very interesting what you're doing. And I really hope that we will have another talk in a year from now or so. Is there anything you want to add which we didn't talk about?
No, nothing specific. I mean, my last message is once again, and because it's a big topic of the moment, pay transparency is coming, I think, to the German audience, right? Which is a bit like France, very secretive. I think it's a friendly warning ahead to people. It's coming. Like, more pay transparency is coming. It's super scary, but it's coming. And I just want to encourage companies to get started into planning ahead for that. But thanks for having me, Jero. It was a blast being on your podcast.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. I will surely have a look at the development of figures. And I wish you all the best and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Jero.
Jo, das war diese Saatkorn-Podcast-Episode. Wenn du nichts mehr verpassen willst und dich überhaupt für die Saatkorn-Themen interessierst, dann abonnier doch einfach meinen niegelnagelneuen Newsletter. Und dann bekommst du jeden Sonntag frisch alle Artikel, alle Podcast-Folgen, außerdem noch meine wöchentliche Kolumne und die Verlosung der Woche in deine Inbox. Musst du natürlich nicht sonntags lesen, geht auch montags oder dienstags. Ich würde mich sehr freuen, hier nochmal die URL saatkorn.com/Newsletter. Tja, dann bis bald. Ciao.